We receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. As the word is taught this evening, we receive clarity and accuracy in its simplicity. Your word taught to us today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we are looking at the man, the message, and the mandate. A teaching that we started 7 weeks back. So this is the seventh session. Is it 7 weeks back or 6 weeks back? 6 weeks back. So this is the seventh session.
Hallelujah. How many of us listen to the message over the week? Ask how many of us listen to the
message? Amen. Mark 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. In Mark 16 from verse 15. Mark 16 from verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the words with signs following. Hallelujah. In Luke 24, from verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I speak to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. And open ye their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hallelujah. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead and taught it. And that repentance and remission of sins are preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Salome.
Why do I will tell you that I will see the son of my mother that I will never. For you are not the son of my mother and father. But I think you have fresh air. Don't try to make that. You can have a good time. But I will tell you to do the pressure. What happened to you?
So we said that quickly,
that when you look at these instructions of Jesus to the 40 days, he said, you don't make me blue. You don't make me blue. I see that. You understand what I said? You know. So now, when he said, this will be Jesus' instructions to the 40 days, and when he 40 days, he gave them instructions.
Right? He gave them instructions, which we said that the gospel preached, we looked at all this, that the gospel preached is called the forgiveness of sins. You know, why Matthew focused on the discipleship aspect of the instruction, we said Mark will focus on the entrance of into discipleship, which will be by the preaching of the gospel, right? Right? By the preaching of the gospel.
And when the gospel is preached, Luke would call the gospel preached the gospel of forgiveness and the gospel of repentance,
right? And the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Metanoia. Hallelujah. And the forgiveness of sins, which is the word aphesis. So you have to take away. Hallelujah. To take away. So therefore, we looked at John chapter 14.
Just a recap of what we said. We looked at John 14. We said in the resurrection, what we receive
is the Spirit of God. So that means when a man believes and he's saved, what he has is the Spirit. Right? And if you look at Luke will call it the forgiveness of sins. John, in John 20, verses 23, he says, I'll start from verse 22. He said, he came to them and breathed on them, saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, whosoever sins ye remit, are remitted. And whosoever ye retain, are retained. So he calls the preaching of the gospel. When a man believes the gospel, his sins are forgiven them. Hallelujah. So that means, what we'll receive in the new birth is forgiveness of sins. Put that side by side with John 14. It therefore implies that when a man gets born again, what he has received as the Spirit, or what he has received is the Spirit, which is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Which is the forgiveness of sins. So therefore, the believer doesn't have a sin problem. Over here, the believer doesn't have a sin problem. Doesn't have a sin problem. Because Jesus has dealt with the sin issue. The believer doesn't have a sin problem at all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we began looking at the word teaching them. Teaching them. And we said that was the word didasco, where we have the families of the didas, right? Didache, didascalia, didascipos, and the likes. And we said for you to be a good teacher, you first of all have to be a good student, and a good student is a good reader. Hallelujah. A good listener. A good listener and a good reader. That the way scriptures have been patterned is that scriptures have been patterned for you to be taught so that you will teach also. There's been patterned for you to be taught so that you will teach also. That is why Jesus will tell them make disciples. That word matitio, to make disciples, to make men students. Matitio is how you enroll a child into a school, into a vocation. Right? That is the meaning of matitio, how you enroll a child into a citadel of learning, where he learns a particular field to become a master. So that means, how will you be a master? You'll be a master of what you become. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So you'll be a master to not have disciples. So that is how it is. Scriptures is structured, Christianity is structured in that format. That you are taught so that you teach others also. 2 Timothy 2. Paul will say to Timothy, a pastor, he will say the things that you've learned from me. If you read chapter 1 verse 1, he called Timothy his son. Did you see that? His son. So he said, Timothy my son. That is Timothy, he is his disciple. Did you see that? He's his disciple. So he will tell Timothy who is his disciple and a pastor. He said, Timothy, he said the things you've learned from me are more many weeks. He said, the same you commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, a very important pattern again I say you must observe is the fact that Jesus will give instructions to his men. He didn't give instruction to everybody in the world. He gave this instruction to specific people who were at this point, they were born again, right? I showed you when the disciples got born again. They didn't get born again in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. When the Holy Ghost came upon them. No. They got born again before them, right? And as I said, Acts of Apostles chapter 2, that experience to us. Now what they did there, what happened there, was not something coming from the sky. It was actually taking of what they have within of them. Right? I've explained that to us very well. So they got born again in Luke 24. And he opened their understanding. There are no cue. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. I will say that pattern will be a Genesis pattern. Which God will send the man in his image. Hallelujah. The same instruction will find it in Genesis, that God will give the same instruction to the man in his image. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them, the man in his image. In chapter 26, he said, let's make man in our image after our likeness. Do you see that? In our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. Hallelujah. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created he, male and female created he them. Hallelujah. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. You see that? And subdue it. So that instruction was given to the man in his image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was given to the man in his image. Glory to God. So, I would say the man in his image after his likeness will be called son. Right? So, who is called son? The man in his image after his likeness. Genesis chapter 5. Quickly. Genesis 5. It says, in the book of the generations of Adam. Now, when you use the word Adam there, the first word for Adam there is the word for humans. Right? In the book of the generation of humans. Humans. Humanity, that's what it means. Humanity. In the day God created man in the likeness of God, he made him. You see that? Now that was talking about man Adam. In the likeness of God, he made him. For you to, Moses wrote that for you to see something. Look at verses 3. And Adam lived 130 years and began a man, and began a son in his likeness and after his image. And he called his name Seth. A son. So a son will be known as one in your likeness. You see that? So when you now go back and see that Adam was created in the image and likeness of God, Adam as a man, or Adam is called to be in God's image and likeness in Genesis 5, that is the reason why Luke, in Luke chapter 3, will say Adam is the son of God. And when you hear the word son there, we're going to be looking at the concept of sonship. We say in this concept of sonship, son deals more with functionality than actual birth. It deals with functionality than biology. Right? Right? And I told you that. It's about with functionality. Function. Responsibility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it doesn't mean there must be a woman. And look at the way I'm stressing it. I've said this in over 4 sections. And I'm stressing it again to us. It doesn't mean there must be a woman before one is called another person's son. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Amen. Look at, let's see something from Abraham. Are you there? Genesis chapter 15. Look at what Abraham said. And Abraham said, Lord God, will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Sinan says, and Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Watch this. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Did you see that? Now read what their heir is talking about son. What is this biological child? Right? But when you say this is going to be my son, it's got nothing to do with biology. Hope you're following me. It's got nothing to do with biology. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So anybody that says, this person, you say you are the son of, Jesus is the son of God, where is the wife? No. Just know that that person is very daft. Jonathan, it's just a significant, it's just an actual showcasing of unintelligence. Jonathan, the intelligence of Amen. Glory to God. In Exodus 4, what we looked at, we said, Israel as a nation. Now, Israel is called son. Not because they have a national salvation, no. They are called son because of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hope you're following me. So, God, based on that covenant, will call Israel in chapter 4, verse 22. He said, thou said to Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel is my son. Did you see that? Israel is my son, even my firstborn, Bechorah. Bekorah. So that means the concept, in the concept of sonship, you will find the Bekorah. Hallelujah. Hope you follow me. Is related, sonship is related to the Bekorah. And we look at all that. What is the Bekorah? The firstborn, right? Right? The firstborn is office. You saw that. It's office. It's responsibility to stand in the stead of your father. Responsibility. Hallelujah. And we saw from Genesis 22 that Isaac is called Abraham's son, only son. And there was Ishmael. Right? There was Ishmael. But it was not Ishmael, it was going to be Isaac. Why Isaac, not Ishmael? Chapter 21, verse 19. Ishmael was found mocking. What was he mocking? Was mocking Isaac, was mocking the Bekorah. Amen. Amen. Mocking there means to disdain. That means he was disdaining God's Bekorah. Did you see that? The same attitude too you will find in Esau. So the birthright of Esau, I know they taught you in Sunday school. That birthright, what happened there was he carried birthright. They didn't even tell you what birthright is. They said, okay, you are going to be if I eat it, don't worry. Share the birthright you want, take birthright. They think birthright was about something else. No. Birthright is actually office. Bekorah, that's Bekorah. It's office. He's telling him there that, no, I don't want to be in the office of our father. I've done what is more than that. And I've nothing. Hallelujah. There's nothing more purposeful than to be found in the Father that finds us. Amen. Remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Tohu wabohu. Hallelujah. Amen. Was chaotic. Chaos. Without purpose. I will find that again in Genesis chapter 4. When you saw Cain. Cain was driven out of the presence of God. Out of the summit of the earth. Which is out of God's presence. Because of the fact that he also did what Esau and I and Ishmael did. Rejection of the Bekorah. Hope you're following me. He was found outside. His sin was found outside of God's presence, and he was said to be what? Fugitive and vagabond. I've gone far past my notes. I'm trying to get it on my notes. Okay, he was called fugitive and vagabond. Noah and Lot. Noah's Lot will not be, he was walking up and down, and he said, let him go. Noah and Lot is used for lack of purpose. So that means, outside God's plan is for a man not to have a purpose. Hope you're following. Outside of God's plan is for a man not to have a purpose. Outside the Bekorah. Outside that is to have, not to have a purpose. Hallelujah. And what would be the tax of the Bekorah, of the firstborn? It would be the same tax in Genesis 1:26. That's what we looked at, right? Right? To replenish the earth. So to replenish the earth is not to give birth to a football team. Genesis 1:26, I want to replenish the earth, I'll give birth to 10 children. How many streets do 10 children occupy? You only occupy just one house. Just give them 3 rooms. Father, one room, guys in another room, girls in another room. If there's still no street, we'll sit in the city room. Have you replenished anything? Nothing. Yeah. Glory to God. If you have done anything, then I have to just give birth to the children that God has put in my womb. That is act of ignorance. God has said that to me once. He said, no, me, I'll keep giving birth to children because God has given me a lot of children. I have nations in my womb, so I have to give birth to all the nations. And the man who first took up that assignment, Adam and Eve, gave birth to only 2. When one killed one, he gave birth to another one to replace that one. So he gave birth to 2 children. Yeah? And said that I was given to one. So, where is the whole nation again? You should know it's not a child bearing. Did you understand? So the replenishing there is not child bearing. How do you follow me back? It's not child bearing. It's God starting all the earth. But Moses will use subdue, replenish. Okay, now he will use subdue.
capsules and belts to represent different kinds of men you will meet on the road of carrying out this assignment.
Hallelujah. That was what we all saw last week, right? Hallelujah. So we see some. We saw something else in Exodus. I mean, in Genesis 4. In Genesis 4, quickly, verses
12. He said, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall no longer hence yield unto thee of thy strength." A fruitful environment shall be now. We saw when he says, "It shall no longer yield of thy strength." It's not saying you go back and be preachers. No. What it means there is that you will no longer be found in God's promise. Right? Right? So that means a rejection of God's promise is to be outside God's purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. So that means we can say sonship, therefore, is to be in God's purpose. Right? Is to be in God's purpose. To be in God's purpose. So therefore, when a man gets born again, he is in God's purpose. When a man gets born again, he is in God's purpose. Then we began looking at Jesus. In John 1:18, he says, "No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him."
Hallelujah.
He had declared it.
So he calls Jesus the only begotten Son. He calls Jesus Son.
And we say Jesus is called Son because of the incarnation.
Was that what we said?
Like Jesus is called Son because of the incarnation.
Because in the incarnation, he will be carrying out the Father's will in the earth. We looked at a bit of some of those things in Luke chapter number 4. In Luke 4, quickly. In Luke 4, verses 18, says, and Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set on liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Did you see that? Hallelujah. And we say that this will happen where? This will happen in his hour, right? All this will happen in his hour.
Now when he says, "You are not able to preach to the gospel of the poor, you have sent me to heal the brokenhearted." We're going to have the time to investigate it, but not in this series. "Heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind." You know, this involves both the miracle signs and wonders. Now, all this will happen. The blind will receive their sight.
The brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. The captive will receive deliverance when?
In the resurrection.
Did you see that? Hallelujah. But before the resurrection, they will have signs of it.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me. They will have signs of it.
What will be the signs of it?
Physical miracles that will point to it. There will be physical miracles. In John 9, we saw physical miracles of how Jesus healed the blind guy, a man who was born from the womb blind.
Hallelujah.
Yet again, in that miracle, he gave also the responsibility of a son. John chapter 9, quickly. Look at that. In John 9, look at verse 3. Jesus said, "Not that this man sin or his friend, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must walk the walk of he that sent me while it's day. Night coming when no man can walk."
Did you see that? "I must walk the walk of he that sent me." So that is the responsibility of a son. To walk. Functional responsibilities.
Over following it. Then when Jesus man explained, remember I told you when you find miracles, signs and wonders, you must look out for what does it point to, because they are actually signs in the earth. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said that in verses 39, he said, "For judgment I am coming to the world." Remember, put this side by side with Luke chapter 4 to preach the recovery of sight to the blind. And Jesus said, yes, he said, "I'm come to the world that they which see not might see." Did you see that? "And they which see might be made blind." Hope you're following this. Hallelujah. Now look at what he explained in verse 41. And he said to them, which is after the Pharisees, he said, "What are you saying? Are we blind also?" And he said, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin." Did you see that? So he linked the blindness to sin. Did you see that? Hallelujah. 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 "But now, ye say, we see, therefore your sin remains." Hallelujah. So therefore, it means that the blind, the opening of blind eyes will be in the resurrection. The blind will see. Sin will be taken away. Sin will no longer stand as an hindrance. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sin will no longer stand as an hindrance. Very vital there. So that means the opening of eyes to the blind will happen in his heart, in his resurrection. But the miracle signs and wonders will point to that fact. Let's see something again. Matthew 20:25. We looked at some of all these things last week. Matthew 20:25. Look at what he says there. He says, Jesus called on them, Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye are not the prince of the Gentiles, aside dominion over them, and they that are God aside authority upon them." And something stirred it up. Two of the disciples, their mother came to do mother of disciples. So when they said, "I want to be one of the greatest of the disciples," so, "Mommy, come and help me here, pastor." So the mother came. And you and Jesus have a conversation. And I said, "Okay, I have to do." I like that conversation sometimes. So he said, "Okay." The mother now asked, which is the source of the baby. The mother now asked, "What will thou?" Verse 21. Jesus said to her, "What will thou?" And she said unto him, "Grant this, my two sons sit, the one at your right hand and the other at your left, in thy kingdom." You see that? Came to ask for position. "Let my children be chief of staff and senate president." Wow. Amen. And look at how Jesus will interpret that. Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what you are." That you don't know what you're asking for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All of you should come and sit down. Verse 22. And he said, "You don't know what you are asking for." That's what Jesus told you. "You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I baptize you." Look at that. So
when they ask that, "Let my son be one chief of staff, the other one
senator in your kingdom." And Jesus said, "You don't know what..." Jesus interpreted that to her. He said, "Do you know what it means? Will you be able to drink of the cup that I drink of? Or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" They didn't know. She didn't understand. You know what I'm saying? Look at verse 22. "They say unto him, we are able." So they were there with their mother. So the moment Jesus, the mother said this to, the moment Jesus said it to the mother, both of them said, "Ah, sir, we are able, we will carry it." Ah, this is our position. And Jesus said to them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup. I will baptize you the baptism and baptize you. But you will drink of my cup. You will be baptized with the baptism and baptize you. But you see, for so sick on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Amen. Do you know who sat at his right and left hand? Please, after you, where did you see right and left hand again? On the cross. Sometimes it just reminds you of what you wish for.
Yeah?
You
just imagine,
you have to,
okay,
you be, and then now you say, ah, that is right and left now. Well, when he said ahead of it, they were now angry. What is it? Is it because none of you are very young? You have yet to bring your mother. If I go to my village now, I go to Tarab and bring my father. Or now we negotiate it.
Then I say, no, no. We are will go to Bayelsa. I will go and bring my father, not just my father, and our king. Let's see who will have it. So you have king. Let me tell you, literally, it's my brother's son in law.
I said, no, oh, God, you have it. I have to add. You know, they were not arguing. That was how they were arguing, you know. Oh, you think he knows about it? I know Caesar. He knows that. I know Pilate.
I know him. Is he by your religion?
He said that again. And Jesus marked him. Okay. Okay. You know. That the prince of the Gentiles has dominion over them. And they that are great will have dominion upon them. But they shall not be so amongst you. Did you see that? Whosoever shall be the great among you, let him be your servant, your minister. That's the word deacon. Let him be your minister. And whosoever shall be chief among you shall be your servant. And I said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to. Did you see that? He's giving you the role of sonship. Came not to be ministered to, but to minister. That shows you sonship is responsibility. Did you see that? And to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus tells you the reason for the incarnation is that he gives his life as a ransom for many. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And giving his life as a ransom for many will be a Genesis fact. We're going to see that shortly. We saw that also. Let's see that in John chapter 12, verses 25. John 12, 25. Look at what he says there. The he that loveth his life. Okay, sorry, 24. The very, very I say to you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it dies, he brings forth much fruit. Did you see that? He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hated his life, in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Hope they follow you. Look at verse 27. It says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause I'm come to this hour. So, when he says, except a grain of seed, you're talking about a grain of corn. You're talking about seed there. Hallelujah. I said the seed will have to fall to the ground to die so that it can multiply itself. Did you see that? Come on. So that it can multiply itself. Pause there. Get back to Genesis. Chapter 1, 25. Amen. So he said, how would that happen? The seed will have to die. Genesis 1:11. I told us last week that, and a word I heard from Pastor Shevro, that God sets in Genesis a law in motion. It's called the law in Genesis, and it will happen by the seed. Did you follow me? Are you following me? By the seed. Genesis 1:11. By the seed. So that means how will Genesis 1:1 come to pass? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember, I told you it's God's dream world. Hallelujah! It's God's dream world. It's God's it's God's vision, God's plan. Hallelujah. So, in God's dream world, how will it happen? It says there will be a seed. A seed will bring forth itself. Now, when it says a seed will bring forth itself, it will be replenished. It will have to reproduce itself in others. Hallelujah. But it will happen by a seed.
Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light there. What happened by the sea? Did you see that? And Jesus said, he is the sea. Pause there. No wonder he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, because he is the sea through which Genesis 1:3 would happen. Hope you're following. So Genesis 1:3 will happen by the sea. It's a pattern. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. It's a pattern. So quickly, let's see a few things. So how will all of God's plan happen? By the sea. Amen. Amen. So quickly, I told you something. I told us that, therefore, I told you first of all, that Adam wasn't in the image of God. I'm going to revisit that, and we're going to clear it up very well today. Hallelujah. So that you understand that well. Okay, Genesis chapter 3 quickly. Verse 17. So, remember how this will happen is by the sea. So, in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. Now, I will have to say something here. Moses had to pick Adam and Eve's sin. And like I said to my friend years back, we will have a conversation years back. Years back. We had a conversation of, did Adam and Eve go to hell or they went to heaven? Well, I said to him that very soon when we get to know this, I believe that when we concluded that they didn't go to hell. But I said one of these days there will be a proof that we don't have a proof really for what we have saying, but there will be a proof to show to the world that Adam and Eve didn't go to hell. Amen. And thank God for the light of God's word over the years. But you know something, I beg to tell you that the fact that Adam and Eve, yeah, we're used as archetypes, we're used as examples in Genesis chapter 3. But something you must have to see, is the fact that their rejection in Genesis 3 is not a one for all time rejection. Hope you're following me. It's not a one for all time rejection. A rejection of the gospel. Some of the things we look at this story for the time of the gospel. The reason of the gospel is not once. That is, the fact that the man did not get saved once is therefore doomed for hell. When I mean once, he gets to preach the gospel to someone, the person didn't get born again, and say, hell is your portion. Amen. Amen. That condemnation will be a consistent one. Hallelujah. And then, as long as the guy keeps rejecting, he is still in condemnation. Then if he dies unsaved, he is gone unsaved. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Amen. But that's not what we're looking at. Look at verse 17. When Adam and Eve sinned, I just said I should keep that in today. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, hallelujah, when Adam and Eve sinned, God came in. And what did he do? It was judgment. They had judgment. Now, in the judgment, God didn't say, oh, my plan has been scattered. No. Hallelujah. Good. God didn't say, oh, my plan, yes, it's scattered. Yes. No. God didn't do that. Because the plan originally, listen, even if it was going to walk through Adam and Eve as a person, but the plan is going to be in the seed. Hallelujah. So what did God do? God reinstated it after any whole mess. God still reinstated his plan of light in darkness. Did you see that? His plan of light in darkness. His plan of heaven in the earth. And he said that in verses 15. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So God is still restating the plan of redemption. Did you see that? Amen. This is not a fresh start. No, did you see that God went back to what Genesis 1:11 seed within. Because it's via the seed that all of God's plan will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. It's going to happen via the seed. Hallelujah. So a man sinned, God repeated his Genesis 1 plan, the seed of man. Or the seed of the woman. It's woman's seed, not man's seed. What's the problem? Yeah. But let's leave it at the seed of the woman.
Hallelujah. He that bruised the head of
the serpent and be healed. So the head of the serpent and be healed. Amen. Shall be bruised by the seed
of the woman. But the same way too, when Eve heard that, Eve knew that the seed was not grain. He knew it was not rice. He knew it was not corn. Amen. The next thing you heard from Eve in Genesis chapter 4. Amen. In Genesis chapter 4, let's see that. It is, and Adam knew Eve his wife.
Now, we all know that Adam is God's prophet. Yeah. So that's why I said, you can't just say, because he rejected that, he's the sinest man.
No, don't say that. Hallelujah. So, let's go ahead a bit. In Genesis 4:1, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, when you use the word a man from the Lord, that's when it's from God. I've gotten a man from the Lord. Hallelujah. Go quickly to verses 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and called him Cain. For she said, For God, she said, have appointed me another seed. Do you see that? Instead of Abel whom Cain slew. So you know.
Amen. Why did he say, have appointed me another seed instead of Cain? He didn't call Cain because Cain is the devil called. Do you see that? So she understood that the seed was the son, and the son was supposed to be the promise.
Hope you're following me. Amen. But you know she missed it. Because she felt the son was going to come from her boils.
Amen. But who was supposed to be the seed? The seed is supposed to be the image of God, which is God himself.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. The seed is going to be God's image. Who is going to be God himself? But she missed it. She thought it was going to be her own child. Amen. So, it was going to be her son, her child, a man. But no, it wasn't. So, by 25, I read 25 here already. By chapter 5, we now saw that Seth, when he was 112 years, he died. And he gave birth to his child called Enos. Okay, there's 26, sorry. He gave birth to a child called Enos. Enos means
free. Subject to death. How about it? Call the child. Subject to death.
So that means at that point they knew that man is just free. So man can't be the force. Free. So the seed can't be a man.
Can't be from their bowels. Do you see that? So the seed is going to be a person, a man, right? But that man is going to be deity. He's going to be God as a man.
Hope you're following that. Amen. But yet notwithstanding, listen. Okay, I have something in my notes. Let me just read out my notes. It says, she knew that the seed wasn't going to be man from Abel, God's word. Hallelujah. God, man, God, word. The same thing what I just said to you. Okay. Notwithstanding, a man who believes in God's promise will be called son.
Remember, listen, the seed is not supposed to be man. Woman, right? He goes to be God's seed, right? God's son. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Okay, you're going to be God's son.
But notwithstanding, when a man believes in the promise of God's son, is that
listen? What promise will a man believe in? We're going to break this in on a Sunday. But what promise will a man believe in? He believes in the promise of God's son. Did you see that? He will be called son.
We're going to see that. Look at John. John chapter 1. John 1 12. Okay, so you understand what it's coming for?
Where we're coming for. This happened John 1 1 into 12. I know several times, several people have used John 1 12 for we believers now. But actually, John was writing Genesis to Malachi in John 1 from verse 1. Okay, John 1 from verse 1 to 13 was about Genesis to Malachi. Then verse 14 was the incarnation.
Who are you hearing me? Okay, John 1 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Genesis, right? That Genesis? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So the same was in the beginning with God. Genesis. See, all things were made by Him. The Word, right? Is it God? Is that the Word? Okay. And without Him was anything made that was made. Saying He was light, and the light is the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness comprehended not. Isn't that? Now these are all Genesis. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, why does he bring in John?
John is talking like my friend Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. One day, Tunde was organizing a crusade. A lot of my friends, Tunde was organizing a crusade. So one of the speakers was going to be Jeremiah. I was not in that crusade, but I was too. In fact, I watched it. I was in school then. So Jeremiah was called upon to preach. So as soon as he mounted up the podium, he said, good evening, brethren. My name is Jeremiah. And we are opening to the book of Jeremiah.
He likes to be Jeremiah. He's the first person in history that I've heard of that
he loves Lamentations. Like, as if he loves to say, no, you know what, Lamentations here. One day, when I planned for him, I showed him somewhere in Lamentations when Jeremiah was lamenting and he was thrown into the well. The same way, you know, your prophet Jeremiah. Say, prophet Jeremiah. Say, look at what happened to Jeremiah. Who you are following? They will put you inside where? He said, God forbid. I said, no! God's a good guy. Glory to God. A good friend. So, John is talking like Jeremiah. Yeah. So he said, there was a man who was sent from God. His name is John. So why did he bring John? Well, he brought in John to represent all the prophets. So John too is a prophet, right? So he wants to call, he's just like, okay, not this guy. No, not this guy. He's a figure of speech. Amen. 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 It's a figure of speech. So he employed a figure of speech called metonymy, where you use a word for a whole or a whole for a word. Do you understand me? So that's what he does. It's a figure of speech. So he wants to incorporate, rather than calling Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the reward of prophet measure, you know, it will be more voluminous. Do you get me? So he now wrapped all of them in a man that they know, John. Do you see that? Amen. So he's saying all the prophets are sent by God. That is what he's saying. Elijah, Elisha, all of them are incorporated in John. Hope you are following that. So that's why he said there was a man who was sent from God, whose name was John. Amen. If we have time, maybe in the next session, I'm going to open that a bit. Now you see a few more things that Jesus said about John. Hallelujah. The same came for a witness, so be a witness of the light. So we didn't see John alone or all the prophets. John alone or all the prophets. Okay, stop. Look up. Will it be John alone or all the Bekorah before Jesus? Hope you are seeing that. We didn't read John alone.
Okay, you agree with all the prophets, right? Is Abraham a prophet? John 20:17, is he a prophet? That means Isaac is a prophet, because Isaac is Abraham's descendant, right? So, now, there was a man who is,
who was one sent from God, whose name is John, or can we say, whose name is John, who represents all the Bekorahs, right? Okay, the same was sent to bear witness. Okay, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. So, were they all bearing witness of the light? We're going to see that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. That all men through them might believe. Is that true? Through them might believe.
Glory to God.
Okay. He was not the light. Okay, they were not the light.
Did you see that?
Amen. Now we say they were not the sun. Okay, we're going to get to see where the light is called sun. So that you know that they were not the sun. But they were sent to bear witness of the light of the sun.
Hallelujah. Yet the same John, who was not the light, was called and born in a shining light. You need to understand that. Hallelujah. But he was not the light. What he had was, bearing witness of the light. The same way you find in all the prophets and all the Bekorahs. Before the Bekorah.
Hope you're following that. I hope all of you are here. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Where are we? It says, that was the true light. Now we're talking about, because it was not the light, now he's now telling you about the true light, right? Which is the word, right? Now that was the true light, that light every man that comes into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. This is before the incarnation. You see that? He came to his own and his own received his not. Hallelujah. That's it. But as many as received him. Watch that. Now he used the word there, lambano. We are going to get back to that. As many as received him. So then he gave the power. That word there is the word power, right? Exousia. Authority. Right. To become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So as many as received him, stop.
Can we go back again? As many as received him. Is it John? Is it John? Is it John? Come on. Will he include John and the prophet? Come on.
Will he include John and the prophet? He has not gotten to the incarnation yet. As many as received him. They were sent to bear witness of the light. So that means they believe. And therefore they are bearing witness of the same light. That all through them might believe. You see that? So all those who believe, including them, have the right to be called sons. What are you following? Well, were they the true light? Were they the true son?
You can't be in a rush to say the
things. But we're not the true light. Okay, for the sake of now, we're not the true light. Okay, as at then, before the incarnation, we were not the true light, we were not the true son. Do you understand that? Do you understand that?
That's why I have to listen to those messages.
Because of some things I'm going to say afterward. Okay. Go to God. Go to God. Okay, let's see a few. Now, is your man right to be called sons of God, huh?
Yeah,
man, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, right, John, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Okay. So, this is 12, right? There is given to call son of God, which are born out of blood, of the will of the flesh, of the will of man, but of God, right? Now look at verse 14, I said, and the Word, now this is in the incarnation, and the Word, which is God, right, became flesh and did what? And did what? And he tabernacled Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 18. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. So Jesus is called Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, the Son will not be the prophet, the Bekorah. He will be the Son. He will be the seed. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Jesus will be the seed. But in verse 12, they will have the right to be called the sons. Who is they? Before Jesus. I want you to get to, I need you to see where I'm going to. They have the right to be called the sons of God. But they are not the true, like John put it, they are not the true light. Right? They are not the true light. So have you been able to see that in John, we had the other prophets? Right? So they are not the true light. Jesus is the true light. But they are bearing witness of the light. They are light, but they are not the true light. Hallelujah. What are following me? Amen. So can we say, let me use this. For the sake of my class, for the sake of my church, I'm not teaching any other person that's not here. You know this church. Can we say for now, before I get into the real thing? I don't want you to go and quote it. I want you to hold it for now, because I'm going to say something else today. Right? Now, can you say for now that they are not the true sons? Eh? Can we say they are not the true sons? So who will be the true son? Christ. Right? Hold it. Now let's move further. Okay. So, let's see Jesus. Jesus is called the Son. Right? Furthermore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 4. Now, verse 3. Therefore, if our gospel be he, it is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They miss the light of the glory of the Bible. This is he explaining Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, into 3, into 26. You know? He's explaining that. Never forget. The New Testament books of the Bible explain the Old Testament books. Okay, hear me. Never forget that. They are explaining the Old Testament books. Hope you're hearing me. That's what they are doing. Amen. So in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world has planted the minds of them which believe not. It says, need the light of the glory of gospel of Christ. Who is the image of God? Who is the God, the image of God? Yeah? Christ. Did you see that? So first of all, it says, for our gospel be he. Is he to them who are lost? Genesis 1, 2. Darkness. Say, who is the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them? Say, leave the glorious gospel. Right? Right? Leave the light of the glorious gospel. Light of the glorious gospel, Genesis 1, 3. Right? Right? So he says, that light is the image. Who is Christ? Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So the image of God is Christ. The image of God is Jesus. Hope you're following that. Amen. Glory to God. Now, the writer of Hebrews used another shade of word. Now we employ in the course of this class. Hebrews chapter 1. I will employ it in this class. Another shade of the word image there. Hallelujah. Verse 3. We're talking about Jesus. It says verse 2. And it is not just spoken to us in his Son. Okay? Verse 1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manner spoken time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had it not been spoken to us by his Son, actually in his Son, who was appointed head of all things, by whom he made the world, the Son, right? So, what does he call the Son in verse 3? Who be the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person? Did you know? So the Son, Jesus, is the express image of God. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Therefore, Adam wasn't the image, Jesus is. So we say, let Okay, come with me.
So when God has made man's inner image,
he's saying that image there is Jesus.
So let's make man in Christ. And that will be a plan. Hallelujah. So since Christ hasn't come, theotic incarnation, how can man be in the image? Okay, boy, baby. Amen?
So that means, listen,
that means when they believe in the gospel of the promise,
they will bear the image, but not be in the image. Glory to God. So that means the image will be a promise. Let's make man in our image is a promise for the incarnation.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Genesis 1:26 will be a promise for the incarnation in Matthew. In Matthew, Luke, in John. Amen? Hope you're following that. So make man in our image will be a promise. Right? But then, before that time, before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have to believe in God's promise. So that means let's make that image will be the gospel. Will be the message. Amen?
Will be a message. Will be the message.
I don't use the word the message. But let's have it like that today. Will be the message.
Amen?
And it will be promised. Man in the image. Hallelujah. That means if man in the image is the same thing with Genesis 1:1, it then means that Genesis 1:1 in the beginning of all that the heavens and the earth would be a promise. Let there be light would be a promise. Okay, follow me. So when Jesus comes, he did not come, I will be the light. He said, I am the light. Did that? So that means that promise is now being fulfilled in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So he says, I am the light. A good scholar will go back to Genesis 1:3.
Let there be light. Did you
that? I am light.
And when Jesus says, I mean, when God says, let there be light, he's saying, I am light. That is to say, I will be the light in darkness. I will be the light in chaos. And Jesus says, no, this is the light here. Hallelujah. Permit me, take away the word no for what I said. Amen. Jesus says, I am the light here. Amen. That is to say, I am God in the Genesis.
I am God in the Genesis. And God in the Genesis is the light you now have.
Good.
Amen. You understand that? Amen. Where you stand, give me the word.
All right, I made you say it. Make it plain, that your heart will be open to receive. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So let's see something else quickly. Our time is almost past spent, but we have to be done. Amen. So, by reason of their believing in God's promise, amen, of what he will do, they will bear his image. They will bear his image. They will bear his sonship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will bear his sonship.
That's what John would say, they have the right to be called the son. This is that they will bear it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They will bear it. But not actual.
Not actual, but they will bear it. Hallelujah. Because they believe in that promise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Also, take note, because salvation was not possible until the Messiah.
Salvation can only be possible in the Messiah. Hope you're familiar with that. Salvation can only be possible in the incarnation. In the resurrection, sorry. In the resurrection. So therefore, what was it available? It was available. It was available on the message.
So when you believe in it,
it was available. But was not possible.
So that means... Okay, let me go say something. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 11.
That is why until Jesus came, no one was called born again. Until Jesus came,
No one was said to have received salvation. No one. No one was called born again. Hallelujah. Because salvation will only happen by the Son, by the seed. Hope you are following that.
You know, until Jesus came, salvation won't happen. But it was available.
What was it possible then? Hallelujah. No one, because salvation can already happen by the Son. Look at that. Hebrews 11, verses 8. Are you ready now? So that means what they had is, they had the same gospel.
The same gospel that you and I preach. Look up. The same gospel that you preach. It is the same gospel that they heard. They didn't hear something different. No, we will still look at it and understand the gospel again and again. Amen. So it's the same gospel that you heard, that they heard. But theirs was promissory. We're going to see that. Theirs was promissory. But it's the same gospel. Glory to God. Now let me see something.
That was, theirs was promissory, like what God said he will do. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's say something. And what the same response you have is the same response they should have. You know, that is why when you hear of salvation, how the writers of the epistles taught salvation, they didn't see salvation from any other book than from Moses. Because it was available to them. Amen. So in Romans chapter 10, when Moses said, when Paul says, the word is nigh in their heart and in their mouth, the word of faith which you preach, he was reading from the same Deuteronomy. Moses was the same thing in the children of Israel, so that they would believe. Okay, I'm going to listen. The same message. This is not saying you have to go up to bring him down. So, he said, what? He said, the word that I speak to you, he said, it's not grievous, it's not hard, it's mighty in thy heart and in thy mouth. Amen. That you will keep it and do it. Okay, I'm going to listen. So, all the messages of speech, all the message that the disciples preached that people got saved were the same messages in Genesis to Malachi that was preached by the prophet. Okay, wait, wait. Amen. So the only thing they added was it has happened. Theirs was it will happen. Did you see that? Did you see that? But it's the same message. And the same response you should have, believe. Okay, the same response. So the response to faith, the response to salvation hasn't changed. But there, before the incarnation, it was available but not possible, but it's the same response you should have. What are you hearing that? Amen. Glory to God. Okay, let's see a few other things. That's in Hebrews 11 verse 8. Say, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should receive for an inheritance. I don't want to start from verse 1 because it will be lengthy. I'll say a whole lot. So I just picked out a few that you should see. But I expect that you go back and reread them. Hallelujah. He said, by faith, what's that? He said, by faith, Abraham. Did you see that? So faith is not New Testament word. By faith, Abraham. Right from Genesis. Did you see that? When he was called to go up to a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. Watch this. When he was going to look for a place, mark that a land. We're going to get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Amen. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise and the strength of the dwelling in tabernacles with Jacob, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city. Look at that. He looked for it. That it was promissory. Amen. He believed in God and then he went up by faith. Hallelujah. But yet, he looked for a city. So that means, even Abraham knew that where he was staying, where he was staying was not the promised land. He knew. Amen. He knew that Canaan was in the land. That was why he didn't have a particular house. Amen. He said he dwelt in tents with Isaac and with Jacob. Hallelujah. And you just see that. See, for he looked for a city which has foundations, which builder and maker is God.
So he looked for his seat. Was he looking for it with his optical eye or by faith?
By faith.
Like I need to say, he longed for salvation.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Moses too, he saw God, he saw the glory of God. He said, God, show me your glory. Did he not see glory in verse 19? He said, no. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Hallelujah. I taught you that, the greater glory. He was saying, when he said, God, show me your glory, he was saying, God, show me the incarnation. Make me see the incarnation. Amen. So that means they had that hope of that light, of that seed. They had the hope of salvation. Amen. Amen. That is why the writer of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not for you today, but for them.
Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. Verses 12. Therefore, sprang. Are we there? Okay, verse 12. Okay, true faith, verse 11. Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So we have promise in land, we have promise in seed. Do you see that? And it will be the same thing. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him of a good as dead. So, many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sun which is by the seashore innumerable. This all died in faith. What's that? Now that is the difference between them and the people in their world that didn't believe. The others just died anyhow. But this one, they died in faith. Hallelujah. Okay, follow this. They died in faith, not having received the promises. Do you see that? Do you see that? They didn't receive the promise, but they died in faith. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means they died never receiving the promise. But they have faith in the promise. Yes, they did. Amen. Amen. So it shows you that we saw them promise of land and promise of seed, and they will be the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the promise never changed. It's the same promise. Look at this. 14 to 19. It's called the same promise. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You see that? And if truly they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might not have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. That is heavenly. Is that they knew the promise was heavenly, supernatural. Hallelujah. How they have seen that? How they have seen that? Heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Kabaya. Amen. God is not going to call their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God is able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Hope you are saying that. So, that takes you back to Genesis. Oh, well, we're not dealing with that today. Hallelujah. That takes you back to Genesis to see what you believe in. Life from the dead. And what do you believe? They believe that God is going to raise them, even if they die. Amen. And we're going to be there and we're going to receive the promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go on again. I'm trying to cut it short. Look at verse 39. So we went all and on, we began to see the hall of fame of faith. Men who believe God and the signs that are coming in that belief. Hallelujah. Then verse 39. He now says, and all these, having received, obtained a good report. Is that? They obtained a good report through faith. Received not the promise. Did you see that? Hallelujah. They obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Verse 40. God having provided some better things for us. Did you see that? That they, without us, should not be made perfect.
Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
These Israelites of the Hebrews do a combating with the gospel. And it says, they without us shouldn't be made perfect. So that means, when it says, they without us shouldn't be made perfect, he now points their attention to the fulfillment, which is the resurrection. Something we'll see shortly, that they will be found also with us in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But something to see is that while before the resurrection, they bore God's image, God's sonship. Hallelujah. And they have to bear it till the seed. They have to bear it till the seed or put to the resurrection. Till the seed goes to the ground. So they bore it. Even if they were dead in the body. Even if they were dead, they still bore it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That was why when Jesus died, in his resurrection, the dead appeared. They appeared in the city. It was not. People saw Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the patriarchs. They were all available. Hallelujah. And those were the cloud of witnesses that went on with you. So when we read all that, in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. Maybe not in this series, but in the coming weeks. Amen. So learn patience. Okay, let's see something. So, remember that we said they are to bear his image, they are to bear his sonship, right? Right? So because they are to bear the name, because they are to bear the name Son as a promise. Okay. Because they bore the sonship and the image of God in a promise, right? They were therefore. Remember how the writer, how John puts it? They gave them right to be called sons, right? Right? So they are to bear it. So they will have to carry out the function of sonship till the fulfillment. Till the resurrection. You see that? So because they are bearing that name, son, image. They are bearing this image, bearing the sonship. You have to do the works of the son till the son. Amen? And who was also one of them? John the Baptist. Don't you follow me? Amen? Glory to God. Remember one time like that, we had a discussion, my and my friend, okay, John the Baptist is the last prophet of the New Testament. And that's true. Yeah. The last prophet of Moses? John the Baptist? Glory to God. Written for us to see. Amen. Amen. So let's see how the resurrection is referred to. Quickly. I know I had done this to us, I guess that was 2 years back. I know I've shown us this like 2 years back, that what the resurrection actually refers to. But I'm going to show you again today. Again, because there's nothing like I showed you. I'll keep showing you to the end of this. Anyway, let's see what the resurrection is referred to as. Hebrews chapter 9, quickly. Verse 24. Okay. We have like 10 minutes. Hebrews 9:24. Are you there? It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now yeah, heaven itself is, you know, is a supernatural place, right? Right? Spiritual, right? Heaven spiritual. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. I will have shown you what that means, right? That is the indwelling, right? Right? Okay. 26. Okay. 25. For yet he should offer himself often, not yet, that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood. For then must he often have suffered since foundation of the world. But now, once, listen to this, verse 26. But now, once, in the end of the world, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of his son. So he says, he appeared once, when? At the end of the world. So what is end of the world? He said, when the world is going to end, no. That's not the use of the word end of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the word end of the world there, that word end there, is the word in the Greek, soteria. Soteria. In fact, the word there, end of the world, is actually soteria anion phanero. Soteria anion phanero. It means phanero rather. It means he has appeared at the, he has appeared at the end of the world. Amen. Amen. He has appeared at the end of the world. So when did he appear? Well, remember, that word appear is a word for the resurrection. Right? So the word soteria, I showed you that during CRC. I showed you when you hear the word appear, an appearance, prostor, is what you have in the resurrection. So when we say he appeared at the end of the world, he's referring to the resurrection. So, when you use the word soteria there, soteria is a word in the Greek that is used, it's a word in the Greek that is used for a fulfillment. For a fulfillment, used for an harvest. For a fulfillment for an harvest. And the word anion is used for age. End of the world, end of the age. So it's talking about the fulfillment of an age. Hallelujah. The fulfillment. So that means he's referring to the resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. The resurrection is called the end of the world. That means we can say the resurrection is the fullness of time. It's the fullness of time. That will be the harvest of the sea. The harvest. The resurrection, therefore, is harvest. The word soteria is used for harvest. So when there's that harvest, there is a seed. That means the soteria will happen when the seed gets to the ground. Amen. Amen. What are you following me? So there's an harvest already. Something else you need to see. 1 Corinthians quickly, chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. It says, now what has happened to them, for example? They are waiting for our admonition. Now look at what he calls our admonition. Our admonition means after the resurrection, right? Now, what has this happened to them, for example, referring to before the resurrection? Isn't that? Which is what happened to them in the wilderness. Say, for an example, and we are written for our admonition, upon whom, which is for us, upon whom the end of the world has come. You see that? So, meaning we are living today in the end of the world. What is end of the world there? That was end there used for telos. Telos is used for fulfillment. It's used for the resurrection. Hallelujah. What are you following? Amen. Fulfillment. Hallelujah. So that means we are found in the resurrection. Okay, following that. We are found where? So where end of the world, not meaning rapture. End of the world means what? We are in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Glory to God. So take note. The resurrection will be the new birth, right? Right? The resurrection, as I explained to us, is the new birth, and the resurrection is fulfillment. You need to see that. Look at Galatians 4, 4. We'll begin to close. Galatians 4, verse 4. Galatians 4, 4. We're looking at how the resurrection is referred to. Galatians 4, 4. Are you there? I want us to read all together. Amen. Hope you understand what I'm teaching you.
Hope you understand. Is it clear? Come on here, is it clear? Are you sure? Is it clear? Clear? Is it clear? You get it? Amen. You get it there?
Okay. So let's, I think Galatians 4. Let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, go into 5. 1, 2, go. The time was come. God sent forth his son, made of woman, made under the law. 5. To redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Did you see that? So, what does it call fullness of time? God sent forth his son. Did you see that? So the resurrection, or we put the incarnational resurrection, is called fulfillment. Fullness, sorry. It's called fullness of time. That is the word pleroma chronos. So the event of the death and the resurrection is called the fullness of time. Is that the fullness of times? Okay. So what happened in the fullness of time, in the resurrection? It says, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, watch this. Watch this. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Quickly, a second. So when you use the word that we might receive the adoption of sons, that word received there is the word apolambano. It means to take a hold in full, to take a hold of in full. Apolambano. So that means in the resurrection, what we have received is sonship. But we'll get to that. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 10. Ephesians 1 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all in one. Okay, let me read it again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, now, fullness of time, is it the event of the death, burial, resurrection? Is that it? He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now let's see the gather together in all, I mean, what, let's see the gather together in one all things in Christ. Let's see what it is. Both which are in heaven and on earth, even in him. So what are the things that are in heaven and the things that are on earth? Now when you use the word heaven there, it is the word spiritual. The word spiritual is what we cannot see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they which are led. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he used the same word there. Fullness of times, right? Dispensation of the fullness of the times. Now, something you need to see, it says it will gather in itself. Amen. Amen. So that means what you find in the resurrection will not just be, when you do have things that are in the earth, it's specific, it's not everything. It's the believers, me that are alive. Hallelujah. And what also will you find in the resurrection? Those who died in faith. You find them then in the resurrection. Hallelujah. So he calls them things that are in heaven. Because they have all died in faith. So that resurrection unites us all together. Hallelujah. Therefore, in the resurrection, we have those, we would have Those who hope for the promise and we who believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we too believe in the resurrection. Therefore, in the resurrection, we and all who believe before the resurrection will be found in the resurrection, will be found in his image. Did you see that? So that resurrection, when a man believes today, he will be found in the resurrection. In that resurrection, we have those who believed before the resurrection found in the resurrection. That's why in the resurrection, they will have to ascend with him into the heavens. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. They will have to ascend with him. Glory to God. Because if that didn't happen, if Peter didn't show us that this guy is resurrected, or this guy will be found in the resurrection, then that means our faith is useless. How are you hearing me? They are found in the resurrection alongside us. Hallelujah. Remember, I said to us what they believed in and what we believe in today. I'm not different. It's the same message. Okay, hear me. But that is a promise. When is that happened? Did you see that? That's why today you see how people that will still reject the gospel. Why? That can you tell me that God came? The same way too, in their world, they will ask, why can you say God will become a man? It's not possible. Did you see that? Amen. So the unbelief is still the same. Glory to God. So we'll be found in their image, and we'll find in his image, and they also will be found in the same image. Hallelujah. So that means Christ is the seed. Christ is the son. Christ is the promise. Hallelujah. Christ is the image of God. Glory to God. Christ is the image of God. We are all who believed before him and after his resurrection will be found in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the writer of Hebrews will say they cannot be made perfect without us. So that is the point of the resurrection. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And therefore, the task, listen, we're going to get there. This week into next week. Next week into upper week. We're going to get towards the climax of our teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Christ is the Son, Christ is the promise, Christ is the image of God. And his tax will be the tax of the Father in all the earth. Hallelujah. His tax will be the tax of the Father in all the earth. So his responsibility will be given to those who believe in him. So right now, you can see Abraham is not as of today in the resurrection. Abraham is not bearing the image of God. Or is not bearing... Abraham is not bearing the image of the Son. Abraham is not bearing the image of God. Abraham is in the image of God. Come here, say it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Come here, follow that. Abraham is in the image of God. Now, but when he was alive before the resurrection, he bore the image. Hallelujah. By faith. But now he's in the image. Hallelujah. As we are in the image. So therefore, the responsibility will be given to those in him. His tax in the earth from the Genesis will become our tax. We are following that. Hallelujah. Amen. So before the Genesis, before the resurrection, they will take up his tax. They will take up the tax of the seed before the resurrection. They will take up the tax of the seed. Right? Because they bore it. They will take up that tax. Because of the promise of sonship, they have received. And we too, because we are sons, we have that responsibility to bear the tax
of sonship. Hallelujah. Why are we called sons? You know, the writer of Hebrews, John will say, now I'll be the sons of God. He's saying that. The only begotten son by right of faith in the gospel, but in the resurrection they are called sons. But no, John now says, now I'll be the sons of God. Why? Because we're in the resurrection. We are in the son. Hallelujah. We are in the son. So our sonship is because we are found in image. Because we are found in Christ. Hope you're hearing. That's why we're called sons. We're found in his image. We're found in his son.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, Genesis 1:26 will be God's plan. How God wants to see man. God wants to see man in his image. God wants to see man in his image. God wants to see man in himself. Hallelujah. God wants to see man sanctified. God wants to see man justified. God wants to see man saved. God wants to see man in Christ. Hallelujah. And that would happen by the seed. And in the resurrection, that became possible. Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. Glory to God. In coming days and coming weeks, we'll explore more of this. Hallelujah. Into next week and off our week. And then see how it gets to the climax of our teaching. Hallelujah. We'll see how God wants to see us. Wants to see the whole world. So when Paul writes and says, who will have all men saved? It will mean while we have all men in his age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what God wants. Let's be on our feet as we thank the Lord.